They got a vintage Victrola 1951, full of my favorite records that I grew up on. They got old Hank and Lefty, and there's B-24. Set 'em up, Joe, and play Walking the Floor. Set 'em up, Joe, and play Walking the Floor. Set 'em up, Joe, and play Walking the Floor. Set 'em up, Joe, and play Walking the Floor. All my neon neighbors, they like what I play, 'cause they've heard it every night since you walked away. Every day they replay, so B-24, 'cause every night I run a needle through Walking the Floor. Every night I run a needle through Walking the Floor. I'm gonna spend the night like every night before, playing E.T. I'm gonna play 'em some more. Set 'em up, Joe, and play Walking the Floor. Set 'em up, Joe, and play Walking the Floor. I said, set 'em up, Joe, and play Walking the Floor. Set 'em up, Joe, and play Walking the Floor.
Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and I'll be your host for the next 2 hours on The Shooting Bench, where we'll discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly issues that Americans face today. Loss of liberty, violations of our civil rights, Second Amendment issues, and the rape of our precious Constitution in general. Roll up your sleeves. Let's get started right now.
It's easy to take liberty for granted when you've never had it taken from you.
In favor of losing your rights, please do nothing. Alrighty, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. 29th of October. I cannot believe that there's only two more months left in this year. It's killing me. But we'll make the best of it. And we've predicted the end of the world every month for the last 10 years. And so it's starting here in about 3 days, we'll start predicting the end of the world again for next month. But we do believe that it's certainly, things are warming up and accelerating a little bit. So somebody's going to guess it right one of these days before too awful long. Anyway, got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. First thing, I want to remind everyone that Sunday, this coming Sunday, on the shooting bench, and I'm not on the shooting bench, this is the shooting bench, on the Medic Shack with Chuck Hudson and Cat Ellis, they're going to be, they're going to do a show again on penetrating wound trauma and bullet, gunshot wounds. So you don't want to miss that one. That'll be Sunday night. I'm not sure of the time. I can scroll right down here and see. That will be on Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Time. 8 p.m. Central Time. That will be 6 o'clock Pacific Time, I think. Yeah. Yeah, 6 Pacific. So you don't want to miss that one. Chuck has got that down pretty well. He's actually applied that in his service to our country. So he's been there, done that, and does a good job of it. There's, I found out, hang on a minute. Found out today a guy called me out of the clear blue sky, and actually it was out of the clear blue sky. It's out of North Dakota. They've got clear blue skies up there. And says he's an avid podcast listener. He's been listening for a long time, and we talked for quite a while, and I was very, very flattered that we have people that call out of the clear blue here when they're not chat room participants. But anyway, he had a little dilemma, and he said, you know, and I didn't hear the first part of what he said, and I almost made myself out of an ass. But he said, he's talking about militia, and he said, you know, and what I didn't hear was I used to think. Okay? I didn't hear that part. I just heard kind of a little mumble. It was kind of a, bad connection, so I didn't hear. It wasn't his fault. I just didn't understand it real well. And then he said something about, you know, I don't see any use for the militia. He said after the War of 1812 or whatever it was, I didn't really see any point in it. He said they've outlived their usefulness. And I just about lit into him. I mean, that's something that I could not believe that anybody that listens to me for any length of time would say that. And then he immediately said, but I've changed my mind. I was just a hair's breadth away from saying, look, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Where have you been all this time? You live and listen to me, and you think the militia doesn't have a useful function anymore? But, hey, that's good, Hunter. Glad to see you had some more kits born there. Anyway, so I missed the first part. So he's come around here. It's a little, he's a little late getting started, but he's starting to wonder, where is it that, how do you get started in something like this? Now, I know we've talked about this several times, but I promised this guy that I'd talk about it just a little bit tonight. And he won't hear it tonight because I won't get the podcast up till tonight or in the morning. But he said, how do you go about it? What do I do? Where do I go? I don't know anything about it. Because all this time he was thinking that the militia was just an outdated, just history. Nothing but ancient history. And now he's saying, I was wrong. I see now that there's a more now maybe than ever before. And Blue Raven, I'm glad to see you. I haven't seen you in here for a long, long time. Glad you could drop in. So we got to talking. I said I'd get a hold of some of my sources here and see if I could find somebody for him in North Dakota. And so we've talked about starting your own a few times, and we'll talk about that just for a little bit. It wasn't too awful long ago that we talked about it, but starting your own militia group. But how do you find one? Well, you know, this is a lot harder than it sounds, especially for someone that has, and I don't mean this bad, but is not in tune with what he's looking for sure, because until just very recently he was completely in the dark about militias, because he decided for himself that, you know, that just wasn't useful anymore. There's no need for them. So here's what you do. several things you can do. You need to keep your ear to the road there, and every place that you go. Most of us that are most of us are hunters. We're preppers. We're ranchers. We're whatever, and those types of people usually hang out with like people at least from time to time, whether it's a barbershop or the beer joint or at church or see them shopping or whatever the case may be. So, you know, kind of pay attention to what they're talking about, and if they mention things about groups and militias and stuff, feel them out a little bit and see if they've got anything to tell you, a lead to get started where you can find somebody. Certainly the first place and fastest place to always look, not that it's always successful. It's not. But you can ask the hunter there. Not always successful looking on the internet. But more often than not, there'll be a number of groups, a number of web pages and stuff on there that you can find somebody. Just because you see somebody that says, North Dakota State Militia or, Northern California Militia or whatever it may be, doesn't necessarily mean that they're really anything, because there are so many of them out there that are literally absolutely nothing. They are a small website, sometimes a single page website, militia. They do all of their training behind the keyboard and behind the monitor of their laptop. And many times you'll find that they don't even have people that ever get together at all. So you need to be careful with that. Another thing to be careful of, check and see, when you talk to them, if they have a website, go over it very carefully and make sure that, see if there's a lot of them are hardcore racist. A lot of them are Christian fanatics, so much so that they are very un-Christian. So, check and see if their political beliefs align with yours, just because they think there's a difference between being anti-government and being anti-corruption in government. I've said that 1,000 times. I'll say it 1,000 more. We believe that we would have a very hard time surviving as a society with no form of government whatsoever. That's not the way the founding fathers designed it. I don't believe that that's the way your heavenly father wanted it. It's been this way forever, and I think that that's the way it is. Long slide. I don't know for sure if I agree with you on that. A good group, Practice OPSEC, has no webpage. There may be some, whether you call them a good group or not, but, there are hundreds of good, reputable, solid groups that train regularly, that have their rank structure and their regular training FTXs and everything else, and still have a website. And I have no problem with them having a website. We have, from time to time, never kept it up, never did anything to a website or a Facebook page, so that people do know how to get a hold of you. I think that being completely secret and in the dark as a militia is a mistake. the more that you are in the open, the more in the open they have to come to get you. That's another thing I've said 100 times. So I don't necessarily believe that we don't have one now, not because of any reason other than I am just so tired of so many things that I have to keep up with. I literally have almost zero free time for my family, whether it's militia or radio show or LFA or whatever it is, the numerous things that I do, that it wears on you after a while. And then I could have delegated that responsibility out, I guess, probably should have. But we're well known enough. I don't think that it's not, you know, really that big of a deal. So, and to Tinker, I think you're right. If you're totally unseen out there, if nobody knows you're there, and you know, the DHF, FBI, whatever, can county sheriff, as far as that goes, can just haul you off, and nobody will know the difference. Nobody will be the wiser. Nobody cares. Nobody's ever heard of you before. So there are a lot of keyboard commandos out there, no question about it. But like anything else, like every single business and organization and entity that you can think of out there, there will be some that are useless and waste time, maybe even harmful to whatever their cause or their issue may be. So no matter what it is, and militias are no different. Churches, doesn't make any difference. Whatever it may be, you need to go through and weed out the ones that you don't need, that you don't want, and pick a good one. And if you get in there and feel like after a month or 6 months that you've made a mistake, then just leave. Don't worry that, well, you know, I'm up for promotion here pretty soon, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just leave. Just get out. If you've got that feeling that you've made a mistake, then get out before it's too late. I'm not trying to scare you away from them. I'm saying that there are some out there that are probably better off not associating with. So, you know, you should find one that has, in my opinion, for whatever that's worth to you, you should find one that has written rules and regulations and bylaws, and that they do have an organization of where it is, as the word implies, an organization. And not just a bunch of idiots running around in camouflage uniform drinking beer and blasting away with their AK-47s and their big old fat belly hanging out in the dirt there and not being able to do anything. So, you know, check it out and see what you can work out there. Okay, in the absence of that, if you can't find that going, then the next thing to do would be to start your own. Not that hard. Find 2, 3, 5 of your like-minded friends. Now, sometimes a guy will be in a place, or a gal will be somewhere where there are no like-minded friends. That is a problem sometimes, no doubt about it. So do a little research. Find out if you know, any of your friends are like-minded but haven't really let on that they are. You know, they're kind of being quiet about it. Maybe they're with you and haven't said anything. Maybe they think you're a Fruit Loop. So, check them out. Once you get these few people together, then work on starting to organize your group. You should have a militia is a democracy one time. When you initially elect your leaders, and then after that, your rules and regulations should take care of everything as time goes on. Figure out who you're, and I don't believe that these groups work real well, most of them. There are exceptions. There's exceptions to everything. But by and large, I don't think it works really well for these ones that say, well, there's no commander, nobody's better than another one, we're all the same. Usually that doesn't work. It may work with very small groups. It is not going to work with larger groups of 15, 20, 50, 100 people. It's just not, and it never will, never has. But once you get that part of it done, then to start working on what your rules are. And it was there. The rules and stuff for ours were what we have now were, 15 years in the making. And, well, that's not true. I guess pretty close. 12 years probably was the last addendum that we made, and that wasn't much. So pretty much in the first 6 or 8 years of seeing different things happen, different problems crop up, different issues that people have, different disciplinary problems and whatever, we probably in the first 5, 6, 7 years, we had it pretty well ironed out. There was a couple of little issues that came up after, it was almost, let's see here, let me think a minute. It was 10 years. It was a little over 10 years before we made our first addendum to the rules and regulations. Other than a name change. A name change came along after one of the big wigs quit. But first one was 10 years, and then 2 years later, we did another one, and that was when we branched off, and a few of us came, three of us came to Arizona, started the same thing with the same rules and regulations. We really didn't do anything different other than redo geographical boundaries for brigades and whatnot, and change it over to Arizona. Other than that, it's still the same thing. So I guess that was a different type of change. So we've had the opportunity, and this guy in North Dakota, I kind of feel for him because he wants to do this, and he hasn't got the luxury of having 5, 6, 8, 10 years of getting all this stuff together properly. And so if he winds up putting his own deal together, he's going to have to learn fast and get it squared away there. So I wish him all the luck in the world. I wish I was better help for him, and I do have some information for him that I'll get to him. And I'll tell you, for any of you that, just in case, on the off chance that you might be interested or know somebody in North Dakota or whatever, if you're looking for that, it's in Title 37 of their state code. Title 37 is the military, and it's Chapter 37-01, General Provisions, and then it talks about active militia, active service, reserve militia, military forces. Militia means a group of individuals defined in the Constitution of North Dakota. So you go to the Constitution, and you know what? Since we're on the subject, I'm thinking that just right now, this very moment, before we go to a break, I think we'll look up the Constitution of North Dakota and see what it says about that. Give me just one second here. Okay, let's check it out and see. Constitution, North Dakota Constitution, U.S. Legal System, Article 3, Section 1. I don't see the entire Constitution itself. It might be right there. Let me check real quick here, and we'll go to break here in a minute. Okay, here we go. Preamble, Declaration of Rights, Elective Franchise, Powers Reserved to the People, Legislative Branch, Executive, Judicial, Political Subdivision, Education. That's a long, damn big old Constitution they got here. Trust, lands, finance, and public debt, general provisions, corporations other than me. Let's look in general provisions right quick. And, oh, great, another damn PDF. Alright, well, let's see what it says. We're in it this deep, no use stopping now. General provisions, let's see, the name of North Dakota, following described seal, irrigation, members of the Legislative Assembly, otherwise, well, I don't see anything so far. Okay, here we go. The reserve militia of this state consists of all able-bodied individuals 18 years of age or older residing in the state unless exempted by the laws of the United States or of this state. The active militia is the National Guard of this state and consists of individuals who volunteer and are accepted unless exempted by the laws. All individuals whose religious tenets or conscientious scruples forbid that individual to bear arms may not be compelled to do so in times of peace, but that individual shall pay an equivalent of a personal service. The militia shall be enrolled, organized, uniformed, armed, and disciplined in such a manner as shall be provided by law, not incompatible with the Constitution or laws of the United States. So it says the reserve militia is all able-bodied males. The active militia is the National Guard. Now, most people call that, most states call that the organized and the unorganized militia, but they've got it worded different, but it is nevertheless exactly the same as, or pretty much the same as any of the rest of them. The Legislative Assembly shall provide by law for the establishment of volunteer organizations and several arms of service, blah, blah, blah. All militia officers shall be appointed or elected in such a manner as the Legislative Assembly shall provide. That is the active militia. Of the several arms of service shall be classified as active militia, and no other organized body of armed men shall be permitted to perform military duty in this state except the Army of the United States without the proclamation of the governor of the state. Okay, so that's really, it's worded a little bit differently, but that's really not much different than any other state. It says you will not be permitted to perform military duty. Okay, we're not asking to perform military duty. We are here as a paramilitary organization to assist when we can. We're not looking to perform military duty. So it's really not any different without the proclamation of the governor. And that's exactly how Arizona is. All militia officers shall be appointed or elected in such manner as the Legislative Assembly shall provide. This is active militia as far as North Dakota is concerned. The commissioned officers and militia shall be commissioned by the governor, and no commissioned officer shall be removed from office except by sentence of court-martial. Okay. Militia forces shall be, in all cases except treason, felony, or breach of peace, be privileged from arrest during their attendance at musters, parades, and elections of officers, and in going to and returning from the same. So you've got a, what do they call that? What the heck am I looking for? Immunity, kind of like a diplomatic immunity, not diplomatic immunity, but some kind of immunity here. It says you cannot be arrested during this time. So actually, that could be interesting. Okay, well, that's all of that. Let's take a little break here, and I wasn't prepared for a break, so I think what I'll do is I'll just bring this up over here and bring that up over there, and we'll just find a little song about a foot long here for you right quick, if I didn't mess it up already. We have a few more, just a couple more things we want to add to this. And then we'll go on. We got some other stories we need to relay to you. We've got to get done. We may run a little bit over tonight, but that's okay. I am privileged to do that because nobody follows me. So I can do just whatever I want, aside from the fact that this is my network. So if I want to do it, I can. So I'll be back in a few minutes.
Another lane. Stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we wanted to maintain and that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Cope Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me
there. All right. Got a couple of stories real quick here. One last thing about the militia there, and DeTinker brought up a valid point. I think it was DeTinker, about watching for government plants. Someone trying to get into your, yeah, it was DeTinker. Someone trying to get in there and turn your organization upside down. Let me make this real simple for you. It is a valid point, and it is one that's of great concern. However, you don't do anything illegal. You don't talk about anything illegal. You don't let anybody else talk about anything illegal. Now, by illegal, I'm talking about, federal offenses. Don't talk about explosives, fully automatic weapons, and stuff like that, especially around people that you haven't known for quite a while. And you won't have any problem. You don't talk about assassinating people and taking over governments and stuff like that, and you won't have any problem. That's not what the militia is for. You train for whatever. You train to fight. You don't train to fight a specific person, a specific entity, a specific country or organization or whatever. You can use whatever name applied to your assailant, to your enemy, opponent, whatever you want to call it. You can call it whatever you want. But when you start naming names and naming certain entities that you may have to be engaged with, then you're asking for trouble. Everybody knows, you know, they can come to their own conclusion, whatever you're talking about. But if you don't use those names, those organizations, those agencies, departments, whatever the case calls for, you won't have any problem. There's nothing. Once they find out that you're not doing anything illegal, you're not advocating anything illegal, that you're just training to help and to assist law enforcement and all that, they get bored and they leave. And DeTinker, you're right. You're absolutely right, and it happens. They are almost always the ones that start agitating and playing with the words with the high negative connotations. You're absolutely right. When that happens, you pick up the phone and call the FBI. And that'll be the last time you see them. They'll be gone. If they're a plant, they'll be gone the next day. You'll never see them again. Won't be able to find them. So, it is a concern, and you're absolutely correct. I'm glad you brought it up. But, you don't handle it properly, and you won't have any trouble. Guarantee it. All right, let me check. I got one little breaking news thing coming in here. Da, 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 da. Okay, that can wait. We'll research that one later. Okay, let's look here. This is usually gun and militia night, so we've spent most of it on militia here. Here's a guy, and I shouldn't laugh because this is one of those things that turned, could have been a lot more tragic than it was. But this was a guy, say a man shot himself in the foot, and the round went through a floor and hit a 9-year-old boy that was sleeping downstairs. Said it happened at 5:45 in the morning at an apartment in San Jose. Man fired the gun. The man that fired the gun and the boy were both taken to the hospital, treated for gunshot wounds. The wounds are considered serious, but not life-threatening. This is what I've told people time and time and time again, that there are, especially in apartments, multi-story buildings, trailer parks, motels, condominium, duplexes, things like that where you have with the proximity of close neighbors, you have to be exceedingly cautious about handling your weapon. You don't handle it. There's no reason to be doing anything with it other than taking it out of the holster and laying it on the nightstand and putting it back in the holster. And that may have been exactly what he was doing when this discharge happened. But the fact is that if you keep that booger hook off the loud button, nothing's going to happen. Keep your finger off the trigger, and it will not ever go off. Well, it can if you drop it, I guess, but some of them, not all of them. So, just there was a guy in what was the name of that place? Saddle West in Pahrump, Nevada. They had a number of negligent discharges in their rooms because everybody get done training at that facility out there and go in the motel rooms and dry practice, and that's okay if done properly. If you dry practice exactly the way that you are instructed to out there, you will not have a problem. At that, I can assure you. Obviously, a lot of these people didn't. And one guy did towards the end there. One guy actually did fire through the wall of a motel and went into the foot of a man that was sitting on the edge of his bed in the next room. You know, people can say, well, that kind of stuff happens. That kind of stuff doesn't happen. It happens because you make it happen. It happens because you have a lack of training, a lack of awareness of your muzzle and your trigger finger. And it's not anything that just happens. We talk to people all the time. They've got all this, and we went through this with some people, yesterday afternoon. Or yesterday morning, actually. And these people will buy ammo, and they'll buy food, and they'll buy generators, and they'll buy shipping containers to put stuff in, and they'll buy this, and they'll buy that, and the medical supplies. But they won't put a dime into training. And that is so stupid. It's unbelievable to me that there are so many people out there. They'll buy guns and they'll buy ammo and stuff, but they don't know what in the world they're going to do with them. There are people that have been in law enforcement, people that have been in military. Oh, well, I don't need that. I've already been there and done that. I don't need all that stuff. They don't quite. This was the thing that was always pushed real hard, and that is making people understand that they don't know what they don't know. The number of people that we've put through classes that have said, "Geez, I had no freaking idea there was this much to this. No idea. This is not what I was taught here, and not what I was showed there," and. Anyway, it always works out for the best. We've never had one person yet, ever, of all the people that we've put through these classes, we've still not had one person say that they didn't get their money's worth out of it. Not one. And we're looking at now, I haven't done near as many people as some of these big names have, but for the fact that I've done it, most of them by myself, or me and Jason, we're probably about somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000 people. And I was at 3,000 before I ever left Farmington, so that was quite a while back. Yeah, Doc, that's a good one. That's go and look up Tex Grebner. It's Grebner. Tex Grebner. Just look up Tex Grebner shoot self. You know, I got to give Tex Grebner credit, though. He filmed all this, put it on YouTube. He's been ridiculed, laughed at by everybody in the world, but he's never taken his videos down. And I appreciate him. I wish it hadn't happened, but it shows how easy it can happen if you're not paying attention. It also shows why we don't allow certain types of holsters in our classes. There's, the Blackhawk, the Serpa holsters. We don't allow those. And most places don't anymore. Most reputable training facilities don't allow the Serpa holsters because there has been too many shootings directly related, directly attributed to the Serpa holster. Front Sight doesn't allow them. Gun Sight doesn't allow them. Thunder Ranch doesn't allow them. I'm not sure about Lethal Force Institute, but most of them don't. And we don't. There's some holsters that we just don't allow because when you get into some dynamic training and start going with the speed and things that we do, there's just too many holsters that can cause cause some problems or contribute to problems that you may have. It's not always the holster's fault entirely, but it can help. Okay, now then, we've talked about castle doctrine laws and stand your ground and all this stuff. This story here really ticks me off. Remember the guy that he was a retired cop, a retired police captain. How many retired police officers have we discussed on this show that have shot themselves or somebody else by accident? We had the one guy that shot his finger off in a gun store. Remember that? We had one police trainer that shot one of his students. We had police that were training that shot each other. We've talked about this I don't know how many times. Well, remember this guy. You all remember this story. This is the one that shot the guy that was texting in the theater in Florida. You remember that? His name was Curtis Reeves. And for those of you that think the 380 can't do the job, this guy shot with the 380 through the man's wife's hand and then into him through his chest and killed him on the spot. Well, he is invoking now the... he says he's accused of shooting a fellow moviegoer in 2014 for texting and throwing popcorn in his face. This is a man that could not handle his anger. This is a man, this is about, there's another cop that couldn't handle his anger we're going to talk about before I leave here today. He is invoking the Stand Your Ground law. You know, I'm not sure why this is even making news, because this has nothing to do with Stand Your Ground. He's grasping at straws, and he's trying to figure out some way to get out of it, and I think he's probably hoping for some support here. But he was arrested. This was back in January of last year, almost 2 years ago. Doggone it. They say that the guy that he shot threw a bag of popcorn in his face after the retired cop criticized him for texting. Okay, I can see when you're in the theater, you know, you don't text. You turn your light all the way down low if you want to text. You know, do it inside your jacket, or, you know, I go sit way up on the back row because there's things that I wind up doing, you know, while I'm watching a movie sometimes. But I won't do it if I am forced to sit near someone or something like that, because I can see how that could be distressing. They come in, they paid to watch a movie, not to watch me text. So I can see the guy being put out a little bit over it. But they say that the guy threw the popcorn in his face, and the ex-cop responded by pulling his gun out and shooting him in the chest. I tell people in all my classes, if you cannot handle somebody slapping you or ridiculing you, humiliating you in some way without responding with a gun, you don't need to be carrying a gun. Period. Someone throws popcorn at you, you might punch him in the mouth. You might throw your popcorn at him. He throws his popcorn at you. You throw your Coke at him, and we'll roll around in the aisle for a little bit, and then we'll finish watching the movie. But you don't shoot people for throwing popcorn on you. So it says here in the story that the bullet also grazed the man's wife. It did not graze his wife. It went through her hand. She tried to put her hand up to separate him, or to push the guy, her husband, away or whatever. And the guy shot and went through her hand into that guy and killed him on the spot. So there was, I double checked this to make sure it wasn't an old story. It was just posted 14 hours ago. But the lawyer says he thinks they have a pretty solid Stand Your Ground case. I don't see how. I don't see how in the world that you can use Stand Your Ground for someone throwing popcorn. If they win this on Stand Your Ground, we lose, because the anti-gunners are going to look at this and say, what, are you kidding me? You can shoot somebody because of the Make My Day law, Stand Your Ground law, for throwing popcorn on you? And there's going to be a big fuss. If they win this, we lose. The guy couldn't control his temper and committed murder. It's just that simple. So I hope that the court, jury, if it goes to a jury trial, or I hope the court looks at this and says, you know what, dude, you had the right to be there, yes. And if the guy was bothering you with texting, you can ask him politely not to, or you can get up and move, but you don't shoot somebody for texting or for throwing popcorn on you, either one or the other or both. So they said, says this highlights several ongoing debates about loose gun laws in this country. Reeves was justified in having a firearm because state law allow us concealed weapons in movie theaters, and retired police officers are permitted to carry a gun without a license. And if the stand your ground law defense is found plausible, Reeves will also be justified in his shooting of Chad Olson. So, to be sure, the story says, to be sure, the mixture of texting, popcorn, and guns that led to Olson's death is being seen the same as a poignant commentary on shifting social expectations in public places. Now, this is why we have so many of these laws that says you can't carry in theaters and whatnot. So, Doc's got a concealed popcorn license. That's good. And that other guy must have, too. All right, let's real quick. I got one more thing I want to go over here, and this is something that's been pretty viral here for the last couple of days. I saw it on Fox News. It's all over Facebook, and this is the story about the cop that grabbed the girl and yanked her out of her chair, and everybody thought that it was, she deserved it because she was unruly and she was defying authority, and kid, God bless her for that. There's nothing wrong with that. But she was a brat and she shouldn't have done it. She defied the teacher. She defied the principal when the cop came, and evidently she took a swing at him and he wasn't going to have none of it. Okay. Now up till that point, I am in full agreement that she was a brat. She needed her ass busted. And I'm okay with that. I'm 100%. Yank her out of that chair, bend her over your knee, and fire her up. Okay, he went to yank her out of the chair. She got kind of hung up in the chair, and it turned over back. He didn't push her over backwards. Okay, that was more her fault than his. And then she was tangled up in the chair. Right at that moment, she couldn't even get out of that chair if she wanted to. He could have handcuffed her right there. He could have handcuffed her to the chair as far as that goes. But he had no business. When he got her out of the chair, then what you didn't see in one of the videos was that he literally threw her probably 10 feet. There was, if a grown man can't handle a little girl. She's not a little girl. She was, early teens, maybe. But if a grown man can't handle a girl in a classroom environment like this, she had no weapon. If she had a knife or even tried to poke at him with a pin, that's a whole different story. Did she try to swing at him? Yes, she did. That does not give him the authority, in my mind, to sling her halfway across the room. If he wants to handcuff her and take her downtown, I'm 100%, I'm with him. Okay, that's fine. Evidently, she was a foster child and had gone through some problems. I have no idea what her family life was like. But, you first thing everybody wants to do, you can blame it on the parents. She was a foster child. Maybe it's not the parents' fault. Maybe it's the foster system that she's in. Doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. Whatever she did, that does not deserve to be thrown around like that. She deserved to be bent over somebody's knee and blistered to a point where she couldn't sit down. That will take care of that. Hunter said she was 18 years old. If she was 18 years old, she must have flunked a grade or two, because 18-year-olds are not usually in school. But I don't think that was a... Since it was a principal and everything, I don't think it was a college. It was a high school. But anyway, whatever it was, it didn't make any difference. I'll tell you another thing. It doesn't make any difference if it was a grown woman. It doesn't make any difference if it was a young man. Unless there was some instance that caused, that would justify that kind of handling, then it was not justified. Now, we'll see... We'll see what kind of, if cop's already been fired, he's been fired because of the court of public opinion is what he's been fired over. They've seen the videos, and evidently his superiors thought the same thing everybody else did. Everybody else, lots of phone calls, lots of emails, letters, and protests and whatever. And they said, you know what, this would be a whole lot easier for everybody if we just let him go and pretend like it never happened. And I think that's probably what happened. But anyway. Okay, Don't forget Sunday night. Chuck's doing a gunshot wound show in here, 6 o'clock Central Time. Rides at risk, I don't either. He literally slung her at least halfway across the room. And there was no excuse for that. I don't care. You can holler at me till you're blue in the face. I am not buying it. Unless somebody produces the fact that she had a weapon. If she had a weapon that he saw that nobody else did or something, then that's fine. I don't care what he did with her at that point. But under just because she was having a bad day, had a bad life, whatever the case is, yes, swinging at a cop, disobeying teacher and disobeying principal, you know, that's all, it's all wrong. It's all bad things. But that doesn't give you the right to manhandle somebody like that over that trivial infraction there. Okay, like I said, don't forget Chuck's show on Sunday. And Amy, I'm almost certain, will be on again tomorrow night. I will be on tomorrow at 8 o'clock Pacific with the Shooting Bench. Don't forget, the time is about to change here in just a few days. When the time changes, you folks listening in Arizona listeners, the Shooting Bench will go to 9 o'clock our time. Our time, when the time changes, will be the same as Mountain Time. So we will be going from 9 to 10 Arizona time. I'm going to have to stay up an hour later now for the next 6 months to do this. Amy's show in Arizona only. I mean, that's the only one that's going to have to change listing times. This is always very confusing this time of year because the times change everywhere but Arizona and a couple places in Indiana, but it's a little confusing. So Liberty Lounge absolutely will be on tomorrow night, Rights at Risk. Yes, ma'am. I promise you it will. So this daylight savings time stuff, we will be the same as Mountain Time for the next 6 months. I am back to the same as Mountain. We're about the same as Utah or New Mexico, Colorado. So that's very confusing for everybody, including me, every 6 months. That's why I'm trying to get a jump on it here over this next 2 or 3 days here before it actually happens. So anyway. All right, let's see here. There we go. All right, we're going to get out of here. I'll see you tomorrow. Liberty Lounge will be happening at 8 o'clock Pacific time. Remember that the time doesn't change for anybody but me. It'll always be 8 o'clock Pacific. It'll always be 9 o'clock Mountain. I mean, yeah, 9 o'clock Mountain. So for Arizona people, starting next week, we'll be going on 9 o'clock. All right? All right. See you then.
A gun will travel, reach the car of a man. A knight without armor in a savage land. His fast gun for hire heeds the calling wind. A soldier.
Okay, that about wraps it up for another PM edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me every Thursday night for 2 hours of 99 and 44 100% pure gun talk. Good night.
A chest knight of silver is his badge of thrust. There are campfire legends that the flames men spin. Of the man.